You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, even on a night you weren't at the stadium, you still managed to show up on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, camera loves me, or someone loves me. I kind of wish I would have went today, because then I could have said I've been to three games and I haven't seen the opposing team score a run yet. But I'm hoping Dustin May does that for me tonight at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that would be good. So, yeah, between the two of us, we now have three appearances on in the first, what, five home games? How many home games have they had? Four? In the first four home games,
yeah, four.
Mm-hmm. We've had three appearances on TV. So I think that pretty much makes us the official podcast of Sportsnet LA, right?
Definitely. And maybe even though the Dodgers, you know, the Joe and Earl podcast fell off, so we need to fill that slot.
Yeah. You know who hasn't fallen off? Us. We've been doing this every weekday morning for over 2 years now. So we're going to do that again today. We're going to talk about the Dodgers series opening shutout win over the Rockies. We're going to talk about Max Muncy, Trevor Bauer, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Zach McKinstry, and maybe a few other guys. So that's the plan. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. I know they don't say subscribe anymore, but I still say subscribe. So I guess at least for the time being, I'm going to continue to say subscribe. What the Dodgers are going to continue to do is apparently shut out their opponents after shutting out the Nationals in two of three games over the weekend. They took a day off and then they came in and shut out the Rockies 7-0. Pretty much, I guess there's no such thing as a perfect baseball game, but that was kind of the platonic ideal of what I want in my baseball games. Dodgers score a bunch of runs. There's no stress. It could have been a little shorter, I guess. But even that, after the first couple innings dragged, the game ended up only just taking just over 3 hours. So even that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. After the fourth inning, it felt like it was going to be a four-hour game, which at least it was going to be a four-hour win, which I would take. But then they were able to speed it up, and both sides, you know, just kind of went through the game and figured it out. And then, yeah, a little bit over 3 hours. It was very similar, kind of, to Bauer's last start against the Rockies, where the Dodgers were up 10-0. Bauer pitched into the seventh, and then in the span of six batters, it was 10-6. So a little bit different in that regard. But Bauer's had 17 runs of support against the Rockies in his two starts against the Rockies so far. So I'm pretty sure he's happy about that.
Yeah, and the first five batters in the Dodgers lineup all started and ended the game with OPSs over 1,000. And the first four batters in the lineup all hit home runs. The fifth batter, Will Smith, was actually the only starter, not counting the pitcher, to not have a hit. But yeah, the Seager and Taylor went back-to-back in the first inning. Betts hit a solo homer in the third inning, and then Muncy hit his in, the sixth, I think. And so I want to talk a little bit about Max Muncy. I feel like I don't know that we've taken him for granted this year, but we haven't talked enough about him. He's leading the Dodgers. He has a 1229 OPS. He just keeps hitting. He's batting 400. He's just hitting the crap out of the ball, which is really nice to see after last year when, to put it kindly, he did not hit the crap out of the ball.
His OBP is at 543 right now, which is, he's getting on base more than half the time. He's still drawing those walks, but he's also adding the hits adding the hits to his great eye. So it's been fun to watch. Yeah, we definitely haven't praised him as much as we need to, but he's just kind of been one of those guys who's been there. He hasn't really had any big moments per se. He's just kind of been the steady force in the middle of that lineup and the guy that's been in there almost every game so far. So yeah, props to Max Muncy. Maybe I called my shot a year too early. I praised him before last season of being the team MVP. Maybe he's coming for it this year and just delaying the inevitable, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because he was pretty bad in spring training. And, you know, we preached all spring training results don't matter, you don't know. But even no matter how much you believe spring training results don't matter, you had to have been thinking, wow, what's wrong with Muncy, you know? And turns out the answer is nothing. You know, he had a bad streak or he was working on something in spring or whatever it was. But as soon as the game started mattering, he started hitting.
Yeah, the one thing he did have in the spring, he was still getting his walks in, which was the best sign to see when it comes to Max Muncy. And then now he's combined getting his walks in with only swinging at pitches that he should be swinging at. I believe Joe Davis tweeted out that him and Taylor are 1-3 in chase rate so far this year. So, you know, not swinging at pitches outside the zone, which Muncy, while he's always had a good eye, he has been prone to chase, and he hasn't really been doing that this year. He's cut down the strikeouts and been able, obviously, to hit the ball more. And then Chris Taylor doing the same way. Chris Taylor was striking out over 25% of the time just a couple years ago, and now he's number three in the league right so far in chase rate. So it's been good to watch those two guys specifically, and not coincidence they both hit home run yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's always the caveat of it's early. It's only been, this was the 11th game. But that's kind of the point. That's kind of why we felt like we need to talk about him now, because, you know, he obviously, I don't expect Muncy to have a 1229 OPS for the whole season or a 543 on base percentage for the whole season. He's going to have slumps, whatever. But right now, the Dodgers are the best hitting team in baseball, and he is the best hitter on the best hitting team in baseball. And that's definitely worth a mention on a podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And the craziest thing about the Dodgers, you know, they're putting up runs, they're leading in run differential already. And we've yet to really see their everyday starting lineup together. I don't know. You know, opening day was the closest we got, but then, you know, Barnes is starting over Smith, so it's not necessarily their best all around lineup. There might have been only, one or two games where Bellinger, Betts, Smith, Muncy, where they all played in the same game. So, you know, when they get Bellinger back and that starts happening and they just keep rolling, it's going to be, you know, they're putting up seven runs like nothing.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more a little bit later about the fact that their best lineup actually has, 10 hitters in it and how they're going to navigate that. We wanted to definitely shout out Muncy. We'll come back in a minute. We're going to talk about Trevor Bauer, his performance. And, you know, we never did touch on the controversy last week when he pitched in Oakland about some of his baseballs being removed for investigations. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar. I don't know if you know this, Vince. Built Bar is actually a Utah company. I don't know if that's how they ended up advertising with the Locked On Network, because David Locke is a Utah local. Because Built Bar is a Utah company, I get to see Built Bar billboards on the freeway. And I was driving my daughter home from getting her first COVID vaccine today, and there was a Built Bar billboard on the side of the freeway, and it just said Built Bar, delicious as heck, which is just the most Utah billboard in the history of the world. And also, I wish that was their official tagline. I like saying the best tasting protein bar ever, and it's true, et cetera, et cetera. It is super healthy. It's very good for you. Low carb, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, all that stuff. But bottom line, they are delicious as heck. Hashtag delicious as heck. So if you, the listener, have not yet tried Built Bar, seriously, what are you waiting for? They're delicious as heck. And if you go to builtbar.com, you can use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Built Bar, delicious as heck. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about some Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer, you mentioned he's kind of dominated the Rockies. He's gotten 17 runs of support against the Rockies. In his two starts against the Rockies, he's pitched 13 and a third innings and allowed a total of four hits, something like that. He just looked. I think his start on Tuesday night was probably his best start of the season, even though it was his lowest strikeout total. Just putting together the whole package, he looked really good. He threw 99 pitches, struck out 9 guys in 7 innings. Just kind of a dominant start from beginning to end. And interestingly, coming in his first start after the report that MLB had removed some of his baseballs for investigation. The report said they were sticky and discolored. And I don't know. I guess first let's talk about Bauer on Tuesday night, and then we can talk more about Bauer, the is he cheating or not.
Yeah, Bauer was imitating a bit of Kershaw early playoff struggles. The seventh inning was a nightmare. He was basically unhittable through the first six innings in his first two starts, and then now in this third start, he got through the seventh inning unscathed last night, so that worked out. And yeah, he's looked really good, and it's kind of crazy if you would have, you know, just people that were been watching games, not really paying attention to the actual numbers, if you would have asked somebody who had the highest ERA in the Dodgers rotation, I'm not sure many people would have said Trevor Bauer, just because of the fact that he's had, you know, 10 plus strikeouts the first two starts, the fact that he was, you know, had a no-hitter going into the seventh inning in that first start and things of that nature. But he did have the highest ERA going into it. Now it's a lot lower than it was before, and the Dodgers rotation in general has been, you know, pretty nasty. But Trevor Bauer, just his stuff, and yeah, it might get touched upon right now when we talk about the other part of it, but his stuff has just been disgusting. His off-speed pitches have had some very sharp cuts and breaks and drops and all that kind of stuff. And you know, the way he's going, it's gonna be hard for anyone to really square him up. Obviously, he's had a little bit of luck with the Rockies punchless lineup two times, but I'm excited to see him on Sunday against the Padres, because that'll be the first true test of a good offense. And if the way he's throwing right now, I don't think he's gonna get touched very often.
Yeah, that off-speed stuff looks really good, and maybe that is the segue we need into the ball doctoring discussion. Trevor Bauer was outspoken for years about, basically he recognized before most pitchers how much value increased spin rate could add to a pitcher's pitches, and so he spent years trying to figure out ways to increase his spin rate. And according to him, the only way he ever found was by doctoring the baseball, by adding sticky stuff. And he was pretty outspoken about the Astros, who we know from other reports, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole, I know were mentioned in reports about using sticky stuff on baseballs. I'd be shocked if Lance McCullers doesn't. You know, has that curveball, you know. And so Bauer kind of just playing the heel and kind of having a feud with the Astros. He brought that up a lot. And he even had one inning in 2018, I think it was, that he, just for one inning, drastically increased his spin rates. And it was just to make a point. Hey, look, it's really easy to increase your spin rates if you're willing to cheat. And MLB kept not doing anything about it. And so it appears, and Bauer hasn't admitted anything, but it appears that in 2020, Bauer just decided, okay, well, if MLB really doesn't care about people using sticky stuff, why am I the only pitcher who's not doing it? And so he started doing it too, and he had his best season. And so it's one of those things where, like, I don't know how I feel. Like, back in 1983, the Pine Tar home run, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Vince. George Brett hit a home run off of Goose Gossage. Brett was eventually called out because the Pine Tar on his bat went too high up on the bat handle, higher than the rule allowed. So they called him out. The Royals protested, and they won the protest, and they finished the game, and the Royals ended up winning the game. And the reason that Brett won the protest was, you have a rule that's never been enforced before, so how can you really make me the first person you're going to enforce it on? And I feel like Trevor Bauer would have a pretty similar case. If guys have been suspended for doctoring the ball if they've been found with sticky stuff or with, you know, implements on their person. But just investigating a baseball that any number of people could have touched during the game, it seems really hard to really pin him on this and really punish him for it.
Whatever MLB does, they're not. He knows that MLB Players Union is going to be behind him. He knows that they can't really do any punishments outside of, I believe the way it was worded, or the way he's been, I want to say he said it on Twitter, or his agent did, you know, basically that he can't really get in trouble for this because if they're, like I said, if they're not caught on the field with it or in the act of doing it, there's very hard way. It's very hard to prove that it's sticky because of him. It's very hard to prove a bunch of different things. You know, a lot of other people handle the baseball, catcher, umpire, ball boys, you know, whatever else it is. Obviously, that's going to, you know, you might, it's probably Bauer, but the way they're going to have to argue it and the way they're going to have to go about it and MLB's going to have to prove it, it's going to be very hard to prove. So I think he knows that, and that's kind of the way he's been going about it. And yeah, whether they investigate him or not, there's going to be hard to prove. They're not going to be able to punish him, and it's going to just be, you know, a bad look on MLB. And I think he knows that, and that's why if he is doing it, you know, everyone else is doing it, and he's not worried about any punishment, and he's been outspoken about that.
And I think the other thing that both Bauer and the league know is that Trevor Bauer is probably the most likely player to sue the league if they do try to suspend him or fine him for something that has never been enforced before. You know, I understand the league's desire to make an example of him. I'd be shocked if Bauer is really the only person whose baseballs they've taken out of play for investigation. He's the one that got the notice in the Athletic article, at least in part, I think, because, you know, that's what gets the clicks. Everybody either loves or hates Trevor Bauer, and so he's going to get the clicks. I assume they have other pitchers, and I assume the MLB would rather have their first test case be somebody much less outspoken and potentially litigious than Trevor Bauer.
Realistically, all this stuff that they're doing is probably for the next CBA or for negotiations in the next CBA of either ways to stop this or ways to be able to punish this or, you know, ways to use balls that are taken off the field for those punishments or whatever it is. So MLB, it's more of research, I would imagine, for this year, because like I said, they can't really go after anybody because it's going to be hard to prove with so many hands touching a baseball that it came specifically from him. And we already know teams don't necessarily really call out other players on other teams because they have guys on their team that do it. So it's going to have to be an umpire that notices it and calls him out in the middle of a game in order for him to get in trouble for any of this stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just that every team has guys who do it. Every team, all their guys do it. You know, there was a previous article on the Athletic where it was estimated that anywhere between 75 and 100% of pitchers use some form of sticky stuff. And so, and it's not just the pitchers putting it on. Remember the play a couple of years ago when a foul ball hit off Yadi Molina's chest and stuck to it? Gee, I wonder how that happened. You know, and so there's so much, so many questions, but it's intriguing. It does seem like something Bauer would do to go out and pitch with sticky stuff again immediately after that report. But, you know, who knows? So it's something we'll have to stay tuned and see what happens, but definitely an interesting side storyline anyway. All right, we'll come back in a minute. We're going to talk about Mookie's return and Belly's impending return and what that means for guys like Zach McKinstry and maybe Chris Taylor. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football and college basketball are over, but the NBA, the NHL, and MLB are in full swing, and you can even bet on awards, TV shows, and reality TV with BetOnline. They have real-time updated odds and props on pretty much anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so Mookie Betts returned. He went 1-for-5. That one hit was a much more towering home run than we're used to seeing from Mookie. Mookie seems like his home runs are often wall scrapers, or at least, you know, they get out, but not majestic. Yeah, he pulled this one. Yeah, you know, it was very hit very high and very far, and just a no-doubter. It was awesome. He put the bat on the line. He did have one weird strikeout against, I think it was against Chacin, that, like, for whatever reason, the 81-mile-an-hour curveball or slider or whatever it was, Mookie swung and missed at it three times. But other than that, he looked really good. He put the bat on the ball. He made a nice play in right field, going towards the wall, so didn't seem worried about his health at all. Apparently, somebody who looks like Thor was sitting right by there on that play, so that was kind of weird. But yeah, so having Mookie back was nice, and Bellinger will be eligible to come off the injured list, I think, on Friday, just in time for the Padres series, and I'm not sure if that's the plan or if that's just the hope, but it seems like we might see Belly back this weekend. And the big question that brings up for me is, what does that mean for Zach McKinstry and Chris Taylor? They kind of, you can make room for one of them to play pretty much every day. And Dave Roberts said in the offseason or in spring training, he expected Chris Taylor to play pretty much every day, just not at the same position. But now that you have two guys who deserve playing time and can play multiple positions, do you think we see them try to squeeze McKinstry into that similar situation and give more guys days off or what?
Roberts before the game said that Betts would probably get more days off than they thought before the season started. So that's one way they can fit McKinstry in. Either just placing him straight in right field or moving people around, whatever else it is. AJ Pollock still isn't hitting, so he might, start getting lowered into a platoon type role if he doesn't start hitting very soon. And McKinstry keeps hitting, you got to feed the hot hand, and Pollock can dominate lefties if they really need him to. So I think there's still ways around it. Turner hasn't got as many days off as we would have thought so far, so that's another way to get him in. I think they're not going to make a concerted effort to get Zach McKinstry five starts a week, but I think they may have a concerted effort to get him like 2 to 3 starts a week, depending on what happens and who they're facing and things like that, and then Taylor as well. So between that, I think they can still get them consistent enough at-bats. McKinstry's probably not looking, probably looking more like 2 to 250 at-bats, probably 300 toward the end of the season if he keeps this up and nobody gets hurt. So I think that there's ways for them to find roles for them. And like I said, with Mookie not going to get more days off, maybe Belly, at least early on, will get a couple more days off. And maybe they're just going to go the route of, if they're rolling and they're 9-2 and they haven't even had their full lineup and been moving guys in and out of the lineup, why not keep doing it?
Yeah, and I think that's right. You didn't even mention Gavin Lux, which for the most part I appreciate, because I do want Lux to get the bulk of the playing time at second base, because I think he can hit, and I think one of the big benefits of a full season over what we had in 2020 is they do have time to let Lux figure things out. He did have an RBI hit on Tuesday night, but that is another position that, when Lux does get days off, it seems to me like, it seems like most of the time these problems are solved by injury, which is what we've had so far between Mookie and Belly going down. That's what allowed McKinstry to play as much as he has, and it wouldn't be shocking to see somebody else have a little nagging injury, and that's when the depth really comes in. It can be frustrating right now when you have 10 guys for eight spots in the lineup, but when you have a guy go down, whether Justin Turner is an old man and likely to have an IL stint at some point during the season, I would guess. AJ Pollock is made of glass, and so he will probably have a stint at some point. And so I think they're going to be really glad they have the depth. And the big question is, how do we keep McKinstry relevant, as Dave Roberts would say? But yeah, I think you're right that there are plenty of at bats to go around. If you just kind of say, okay, you're going to get one more day off every 2 weeks than we thought, you're going to get one more day off every week than we thought, and kind of squeeze that out, because I do think everybody plays their best. I don't think it's a coincidence the Dodgers have this many guys hitting well, because they have the ability to rest them and to give them breaks when they need to.
Fresh legs early on is especially helpful, and it's only going to help as the season goes on. Regardless of what people think about the season last year being only 60 games, it was a benefit to all teams, not just the Dodgers, that guys would be fresher heading into the postseason. Injuries are always going to happen, so you can't really knock that from last year. But, you know, guys being fresher, guys not having too much wear and tear on their bodies, you know, the dog days of summer was basically the entire season. So it was a different experience last year. And the Dodgers have more than enough depth to make it that way. You know, Mookie's on a long-term project. He's going to be here 12 years. They don't want to burn him out. And, you know, I'm sure Mookie would want to play 162 if he really could. But realistically, guys these days know that, you know, 150 is a good number, even down to 140 for some guys that are a little bit more injury prone or a little bit older. So the Dodgers have plenty of ways to find at bats. And, you know, the hot hands are going to play. McKinstry's that guy. Taylor's that guy. You know, Matt Beatty and Edwin Rios aren't really hitting. They might see some of their starts at third or wherever else dwindle a little bit in order for McKinstry and Taylor to get those at-bats. So it's going to be a big mixture, as we've seen. And like I said, realistically, we're probably going to have an injury or two in the next couple months, and everyone's going to eat.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that about wraps it up for today, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, a 7-0 win, there wasn't too much controversy to talk about, so it's all positive and figuring out what's coming up in the future. We've had a couple questions or a couple comments about talking about the rest of the NOS, so we'll definitely add that into our weekly segment or some way. We're going to talk about the Padres because the series is coming up this weekend, so we'll talk about that on Thursday. But no, the Giants are playing well, and then the Rockies and Diamondbacks are not.
Yeah, I think Thursday night, I think we're going to try to do a locker room app chat to get ready for the Padres series, maybe just right after the game, you know, call it the Smart Fans alternative to David Vasse. So put that on your calendars just right after the game on Thursday night. We'll try to do a locker room chat. Other than that, thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet followed us wherever you get your podcast, please do that. Make sure it downloads every day and make sure, you know, you listen every day. Last week, Locked On Reds actually passed us up for the first, I think it's only like the second or third week in the last year that we weren't the top baseball podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. So let's get us back up there. I know the Reds are exciting right now, but the Dodgers are more exciting. So tell your friends, please listen every day, all that good stuff. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625 for voicemails or texts. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!